The Word of God. Now, I'm not saying the Word of God isn't important. It absolutely is important. But, you know, we wander in and we have a tendency to just kind of like, oh, you know what? 10:05, 10:10, it's just worship. And that's not true for everybody, and there's no condemnation in this house. But I want to set us up because where Pastor Mike, myself, and Josh feel like we're going this fall, and fall's going to be here quickly, is really looking at, and Josh did this really well last week, is our spiritual formation. There is opportunity to serve, and that's what we're going to look at this morning and recognize that there's a difference between volunteering and serving. Volunteering is based on ability. Hey, we need tree trimmers. Well, I can't volunteer for that because I don't know how to trim a tree. We need worship leaders. We're not asking for volunteers because then you'd be disqualified as like, well, I can't volunteer because I don't know how to lead worship and I don't play an instrument. We're looking for men and women who are willing to serve. And the distinction between serving and volunteering is availability. Are you making yourself available to interact with other people? You don't have to be the best cook to be part of our Sunday morning breakfasts. Breakfasts? Is that a word? Breakfast? I don't know how to make that plural. Breakfast. Thank you. You don't have to have this great passion for children or childcare to come and serve in the midst of trying to get a childcare service and grow our childcare ministry. You need to be available. And I think what's settled upon some of us and upon the church as a culture is that we've disqualified ourselves based on ability and not examine our availability. Now, the truth is some of us just aren't available because where God has called us and where we're investing is taking time and we're giving ourselves 110% to that. But you better know what you've made yourself available to. You better understand the nature of your service. Because if you define it in the sense of availability, somebody is going to definitely take advantage of it. Somebody's definitely going to come along and ask for your time that you've made available. And therefore, you will then be serving someone or something. So we have to examine, Lord, how do you want me to be available? What do you want me to be available for? And so with that, I want to encourage you next Sunday when we gather, yes, it'll look a little different. It won't be a traditional Sunday, but it'll definitely be an opportunity to build greater community, both here and away. Now, one sec. Now, if you don't want to serve here on campus, that is absolutely 100% okay. Go down to Pioneer Park and find some place to go serve with others. If you don't want to go down to Pioneer Park at 9 and get the worship, just meet us here at 9:30. We'll go till about noon, but if we get done sooner, we'll get out of here sooner. If you want to come and pray for 1 hour, pray for an hour. But about noon, we're going to shut everything down, send you home, God bless you, have a great week, and move on. If we have projects, because I guarantee you our projects are more than a couple hours worth of projects. If there's things that you can come back during the week and help us do, great. Otherwise, they will get done, but it's just a day that we can really invest. Tara, do we need tools? So we have some hedges that need trimming. We will be doing some painting. We'll provide the painting supplies, but it's the landscaping tools, the hedges along the side. There's some bushes that we need taken out. Nothing like a chainsaw, but that's always fun if you've got one, so bring it and fire it up. So just around the building here, there's some hedges that just need to be cleaned out and that kind of stuff. We'll have a hedge trimmer, but if you have one, bring one. And if you really want to get the sweat on, just bring those, shear clippers and have at it. But yes, that'll be, and then the moving of the equipment and all that kind of stuff, that'll just kind of be two hands and a smile. Two hands and a smile. Remember that. Thank you for the question. There's some other announcements in your bulletin. The end of the year is coming, and so we're looking forward to transitioning to the fall. Just an update. So I'm going to share this morning, next Sunday, September 28th, Together We Serve. The following Sunday, September 4th, we know it's Labor Day weekend. If you're in town, come and join us. But I want to warn you right now, we're going to be talking about the nature of control and self-hatred on that Sunday. Now, I know that sounds super exciting, and that sounds like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cancel my vacation to make sure I'm at church on September 4th. But where we go this morning, I'm setting you up, because here's the tactic of the enemy. Is like, don't go to church today. It's the holiday weekend. They're serving breakfast before church. Yeah, we can skip that. It's the first Sunday of the month. They keep the kids in. They do communion. Jeff mentioned self-hatred. I definitely am not going. Oh, we're going to talk about control. I definitely have no control issues, so I don't need that message. Those are all the tactics and schemes that the enemy loves to inject into our little thoughts as we go about our day. And usually about Saturday night, right before you go to bed, is when he turns on the amplifier and just cranks it up to where then you wake up Sunday morning at 10:10 going, oh, I wasn't meant to go to church. Thanks for the extra sleep, Lord. And you miss out. Because what's really going to happen, I believe, is that we're going to find ourselves walking in greater freedom to be who God wants us to be as a local church in a community that needs the church. Amen? And I'm going to set that up today. And then the following Sunday, you know, I told you earlier, there's reason to praise. Jennifer Pelletier will be up on September 11th. And so, yeah, praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So there's just a little snapshot of the things coming up. I pray that as you weigh your availability and your commitment and intentionality, again, you will make the choices that bring God glory. And part of that is being involved in the community of the body of Christ as we grow here. And again, there's no condemnation. We absolutely understand vacation. We understand busyness. And we understand just things that we have responsibility for. And so, again, if you're not here, we do record our services. They're online. You can watch us online live, or you can just be here, which is so much better. And so with that, let me ask, if you are a teacher, an administrator, involved in the school district, a student, would you please stand today? If you are going back to school in the next few weeks, if you're homeschooled, a homeschool teacher, just go ahead and stand this morning. We just want to pray for you. Yeah, students, come on, you guys. If you're a student, are you guys done? Are you, Shane, do you not go to school anymore? Are you not going back to school? Man, I wonder if that would work. Like, I just refuse to go. Therefore, I'm not going to stand, and I'm going to tell my parents. No. Yeah, come on. Let's pray for them this morning. Say what? Online teacher. Yeah, teacher, whatever format. If you teach online, if you, are in a classroom, if you're a homeschool, whatever. If you're a teacher, thank you. Yeah, amen. Exactly. We'll start listing them all. Would you extend a hand to some of them? Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the men and women, for the young and old that have enjoyed a summer, have come through a summer, and are about to engage again in a new school year. Father, we declare that, Lord, there would be an anointing upon them. Father, that they would have a boldness to preach the gospel. They would not be ashamed of the light that they are. That they would find favor everywhere they go and everything they put their hands to. Father, that they would have wisdom beyond what they even invested the time to learn. That they'd be able to impart understanding and truth. Father, that they'd be discerners of the atmosphere and recognize the emotional turmoil, the distress and the isolation and the cultural issues that the schools and the children in our country and really the nations are struggling with. Father, that these men and women, whether as a student, administrators, or teachers, or whatever fashion or format they're engaged in the school. Come on, you parents that are sending your kids out. We thank you in the name of Jesus that, Father, we would see the tide begin to turn, that we would see a return. Father, as we saw Roe versus Wade change, Father, that we'd see the value of Jesus being in our schools. We'd see the gospel welcomed. We'd see the need for eternal understanding and wisdom. We'd see the desire begin to rise up, and where there's been opposition in the past, where there's been a silencing of the gospel, where there's been a quenching of the spirit, Father, we ask for forgiveness on behalf of our nation. And we say, Father, let these men and women, let these students arise in such a manner that, Father, they would become the voice that triumphs over all other voices because they carry your voice in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, just bless them. Thank them. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to be praying for you and praying for our schools as we get started this school year. I know some of you are like, oh, no, I'm not ready. But too bad. It's just, there's things we got to embrace that we don't always want to embrace. So, hey, Elijah, would you stand? I just want to pray for my son. He is moving to Hawaii, and so he has found a place over there. His sister's over there. He was born there. He graduated last year, is trying to decide the direction that God has for him, and this next season is in Hawaii. And so, Lord, I thank you for, Lord, I thank you for Elijah. I thank you for the gift and the anointing and the grace that he carries. I thank you for the beauty of watching him grow, being entrusted with his life, Lord, as a dad, and Jacqueline and his mom, his brother and sister. And Lord, we just thank you for the prosperity that awaits him in the spirit, the prosperity that awaits him in new community and friends. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that this is part of the process. This is part of the transition of just growing up. So like all of us who have sent our kids out the door, Lord, we again entrust them to you. And we say thank you that, Father, you have your hand on them in ways that we can't even imagine. And so we bless you, Elijah, and thank you, Lord, again for the testimonies that we will hear in the days and years to come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So Jacqueline and I you leave in a couple weeks, I think, two weeks. So we'll be empty nesters in a sense in 2 weeks. And then my dad's moving in. So we'll have a month of being empty nesters in the sense of wandering around our home naked. And then my dad will be around. And then he'll be naked, right? Yeah. So I, you know, that's just how it goes. Maybe, yeah. So the beauty of our life and where we're transitioning, and really, this is where the heart of this message is coming from, is just recognizing how we grow together. And in all honesty, when I sat down with Josh a few weeks ago and explained to Josh, you know, Pastor Mike's going to be coming out of the seven churches, it's on my heart to take this next chunk of time and really look at spiritual formation because it's a setup for where we want to go this fall. And Josh did a great job last week of just laying some groundwork. And so thank you, Josh. But if I could give you a different title, I know growing together sounds really spiritual and I felt it was appropriate and it absolutely captures where my heart is and what we're trying to go after. But my alternative title, and you can write this down, is God is not a vending machine. God is not a vending machine. And so that's really at the heart because there's a part of me that when I stop and I come before the Lord, I really wish it went like this. What do I want today? A19, $1. Put the dollar in, A19, and then the little coil thing, zoop, and it drops down, you reach in, and you walk away. Right? Wouldn't it be awesome if God was like a vending machine? Good answer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That might express that maybe I was struggling with a little bit of hope there. But no, in all honesty, the answer is no, because that's just a transaction. There's no vitality. There's no life. There's no infusion of hope and faith and love and these things that we've been talking about. But this is how it goes. Have you ever seen the bloopers of a vending machine? You know, the reality of somebody walks up to a vending machine, they put their money in, they make their choice, and it gets caught on the coil. And then what do they naturally do? You start banging on that thing. You start kicking it. And if you've ever seen those bloopers, I mean, they're getting a running start launching into it. The best one, and maybe I'll show this in a couple weeks, but is when they start shaking it and it falls over on them. Have you ever seen those ones? I mean, I just laugh and I tear up. And then because it's the security camera that's usually watching, and all of a sudden you see the individual trying to struggle out from under. Now, I'm sure it's a very tragic reality. people were probably hurt in the process. I get that. But again, the reality of trying to get something out of that vending machine and the means by which we'll go, the determination, just shows something about our culture and our snack habit, right? I mean, we are destined to get that snack. The best is, oh man, I should have totally grabbed these bloopers because I was thinking through this. Whoever invented or thought of the vending machine holding glass bottles, have you ever seen those bloopers where, like, they put those Starbucks, I don't even know what the Starbucks drink is that comes in the glass, the Frappuccinos, you know, I'm watching these videos and they're like on the top shelf and they order them and they drop down and just shatter. And I'm like, what genius thought, like, hey, let's put the glass bottle in the vending machine and on top to where it can just free fall all the way down. Now, if you've ever been to Japan, talk about vending machine ingenuity. Those guys, that you can get a meal out of a vending machine. And I'm not talking like stale popcorn meal or Snicker bars meal. I'm talking like a teriyaki chicken bento. Now, I don't know if there's some guy in the vending machine sitting in the back that's like, oh, he ordered teriyaki chicken. Let's quickly make that and then spit it out. But somehow they've processed this ability, created this ability to kick out food and give you what you order when you look at their little menu. Crazy. Oh, the Jetsons, yeah. I was like, Genesis? Are there buttons in Genesis? But this idea that God is not a vending machine is something that we laugh about, but if I was to ask you seriously about how you interact with the Lord, how much similarity would we actually find? How much reality would we find in the fact that sometimes we come to God going, hey, Lord, I need a healing. Oh, A19 is healing. My deposit of my dollar bill is, Lord, I go to church on Sunday. Lord, I read my Bible. Lord, I fellowship with other people. That should be enough for the little coils of heaven to move and drop my miracle. I mean, we think that way. I know we don't want to think that way, and we have a hard time maybe confessing we think that way, but the reality is that there's this transactional mentality that we have when it comes to God. It also then translates and transitions over to our interaction with people. We look at people and go, hey, this is my expectation of you. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my resources, and this is how you're going to repay me. This is what you're going to give me back. You're not going to gossip, you're not going to slander, you're going to be there when I need you to be there. And we have this mentality that it's a matter of just a transaction. That it's equivalent to, I put my money in, I should get something in return. And the truth is, it's not. It's not that way. It is relational. And listen, relationship is not easy. Relationship requires time. Relationship requires, again, flexibility. Relationship requires an amount of grace that sometimes we don't have the capacity to offer or receive because of brokenness. And so we left off last week, if you're with us, in groups of 3 to 4. And we're going to take the next 5 minutes to just get into some groups of 3 or 4. And I've got 2 questions for you. So everybody stand up. If you walked in late, just realize it's obvious now that we're doing the message prior to worship because we're going to go into worship based off of some things that we addressed this morning. So here's my first question for you. Get into some groups of 3s and 4s. There's your groups. Here's the question. If someone asked you, how does God change lives, what would you say? So somebody comes up to you. I'm asking you right now. How does God change lives? What would your response be? Go. Make sure you know their name. Make sure you know anybody that's new in your group. Make sure you allow others to share. I'm going to give you another minute before we get to the next question, so maybe allow someone else to share. All right, about 30 more seconds. If somebody in your group hasn't shared yet, why don't you give them a moment? All right, second question on the screen. What does the statement, "we are being changed into the image of Christ," mean to you? Now, we could all probably give a dissertation on this subject and our belief, but if you could summarize it in a real brief couple statements, what does the statement, "we are being changed into the image of Christ," mean to you? Try to summarize it and let everybody in the group just take a moment to share. I'll give you a few more minutes. All right, about one more minute. Make sure somebody else is getting a chance to share. All right, I know I'm cutting some of you off. I hope all of you at least had a moment to share. Go ahead and find a seat again. Come on, give yourself a round of applause. Some of you, I know that's a stretch. Some of you could spend all day doing that as far as engaging in discussion and talking with others and listening, and that's the beauty of God's design and how you've been formed and fashioned. But here's the big picture. Hey, Dean, we'll finish the conversation when we're all done. So here's the thing I want you to get in light of what you just experienced and what you just encountered, is that we need to know what we're doing as born-again believers. We need to have an awareness of our purpose. And the most heartbreaking, grieving conversations that I have with individuals, and I know that other pastors have with individuals, is the conversation that goes, "I don't know what God wants from me. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't feel like I have any value. I don't have any worth." That's why here's another plug to make sure you show up on September 4th. We're going to look at control and self-hatred, because they're actually at the root of that, those issues. But there's this reality that so many of us are just going through the emotions, are just going through the physical expression of, "I go to church," or "I call myself a Christian." And there is so much more to our purpose than a name or a place like Echo Hills or the LC Valley. And so this question of, how does God change lives, is something that you and I have to be able to answer. We have to be able to answer, because the world is screaming, looking for change. They want to know, how can we make things different? Now, they're also open to anything. But what you and I have to offer is very unique and very specific. And it is Jesus Christ. But can I give you a very simple yet profound answer? How does God change lives? Through love. It all comes back down to love. Will there be discipline? Yes, because he loves. Will there be withholding? Yes, because he loves. Will there be persecution? Yes, because he loves. Will there be blessing? Yes, because he loves. Will there be whatever? It's because of love. He is love. How does he change lives? It's through love. So if you're sitting here this morning, or you have friends that are stuck, I'm going to ask you to start looking at the issues through the lens of God's love. Lord, I feel stuck. I don't know how to grow. I feel like I'm on a merry-go-round, you know, and I see the same thing around and around. How are we going to get things moving differently? How am I going to get off this train wreck? The answer, simply put, yet profoundly stated, is love. Encountering God's love, discovering his love, realizing how much you are loved, what he went to and through to show you love. The next question is the reality of the statement, "we are being changed into the image of Christ." What does it mean? Again, we can have a lot of definitions and we can bring a lot of scriptures to the table, and this is a very deep theological question, but I'm going to give you one simple yet profound answer. What does it mean to be changed or shaped or formed or brought up into the image of Christ? It is love. Jesus is the expression of God's love. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love. Love became flesh so that all the world would know that our God is a God of love. What does it mean to become the image of God? What does it mean to be changed and transformed into that image? It's about receiving the love that we became aware of in knowing how God changes lives. And at the end of the day, it's really that simple. It's a posture of, am I able to receive God's love? And then am I willing to give it away? So I want to give you a definition this morning. Spiritual formation. Spiritual formation, Josh started this last week, and I'm just kind of reiterating it and adding a little bit to the end, is a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. To go and be Christ. So Jesus came and he said, listen, I'm going to take on all the sin of the world by going to the cross. And in exchange, you're going to get eternal life and go to all people in my likeness, in my image. This idea of spiritual formation, the idea of growing up together, the idea of becoming like Christ is a process, and it's a four-part process. And I think that's later. Do I have that? I don't know if I have that in my notes this time. Oh, yeah, it's this four-part process. It's, first of all, recognizing there is a process. There is a process to our spiritual formation. There's a process that has been in play since the day you were born. Your family's influence, your environmental influence, the cultural influence, the spiritual reality influence, the encounters, the moment to moment. Josh said it this way last week, and I'm reiterating it, is that everything is involved in your spiritual formation. And it's either forming you into the likeness of Christ, or it's forming you into the dehumanizing, destructive way of the enemy. Those are your two options. There's no static, you know, status quo or status that I can just stay right here and not be formed. Everybody is in a spiritual formation process. Every choice, every decision, every thought, every answer, every reaction, every rebuke, every emotion, it's all shaping us and has been shaped by our spiritual formation process. And where you and I are gathered today is in a place that's confessing, Lord, I want to be spiritually shaped more into your likeness. I am willing to be intentional about making myself present so that I can be shaped into you. And yet, even here right now, there is still a world of formation that's taking place in your thought life outside of this moment that you might put on pause because you're listening to my voice, or in a moment we're going to engage in worship. But it's still at work trying to shape you. The news is trying to shape you. They might not use the terminology, but they are spiritually forming you. I mean, I don't know if you know this. I heard Pastor Mike say it a couple times, but I can't remember if it was in here or in our meetings. But we had people that when Pastor Mike started the book of Revelation, say, you know what, I'm going to find a different church. I mean, we hadn't even started the series yet. Now, granted, it didn't help that I was miscommunicating our belief system because he had all those notes, and I was like, yeah, we believe all that stuff. I didn't even know it was on the notes, but we don't believe all that stuff. It's just language to understand all the stuff that's out there. So I have to take responsibility for that as well. But I did my due diligence and went to those people that I had talked to and said, hey, forgive me, we don't believe all this, apparently. We just are trying to educate you on what's out there. So please come back. But the reality that the book of Revelation has such a persona about it that our spiritual formation either butts up against it and we don't agree with it, or we draw back, or we just absorb it in such a manner that we don't challenge it. And that's one of the things that Pastor Mike's been really trying to go after. And so there's this process involved. Worship is part of that process. Putting ourselves in a posture where we sit before the Lord and we just lavish him with our love. We lavish him with a desire. We come and we listen to his lavishing love upon us. We listen to the abundance of his mercy and his grace flowing out of heaven by the Spirit into our spirit. We posture ourselves in such a manner that we realize that, Lord, there is this divide between heaven and earth, and I want it removed. And therefore, I worship and I praise you in an effort to not move it on my own, but to know that, Lord, you see a man and a woman gathered. You see us gathered who don't want the divide. And in that, God finds a habitation for his presence. God finds a desire to build something with us. But he's looking for worshipers. He's looking for those that really desire for the divide to be removed. And yet our spiritual formation brings in itself a nature of division. Well, I don't agree with that theology, or I don't understand that verse, or I don't recognize where you're going, so I'm not sure I can go there. And so we're constantly in battling the process, which then brings us to this nature of being formed. You and I are being formed. We're being formed by the creator of our being. Listen, before you and I were even formed in our mother's womb, he predestined us to know him. He chose us before we were ever formed. Your being and your doing was created to give him worship. So you're being formed, but the question that we have to ask is, what are we allowing to form us? Is it God or is it the world and the enemy and enemy's tactics? So there's got to be this recognition of that we are being formed into what? Into the image of Christ. Into the incarnate nature of God. Sorry, those words are stumbling. Of God's love through Jesus Christ. That he came to deliver us. But in delivering us, we saw that he didn't remain in the grave. He got up and got out, and he took his rightful seat, and he is returning, and he will come again in his glory. And he's looking for a bride that has been made washed, that's been washed and made white, pure as snow. That he's looking for a bride who is faithful. He's looking at you and I saying, I'm coming, are you ready? And what he's looking for is himself. He's looking for his nature on the earth. He's looking for the love that he's poured out, being poured out by others, you and I. He's coming, and he's coming in such a manner that you and I have a responsibility to allow God to do the work in our formation to make us like him, because it's only him that can do it. Which then brings us back to this last phrase. And this is the part where I know when I sit and I look at the book of Revelation and I listen to Pastor Mike teach through Revelation, that I know the church as a whole is very malnutritioned when it comes for the sake of others. We have a culture that is fixated on self. And it has infiltrated the church to such a degree that, yes, we can love one another. Yes, we identify friendship and community, and we put up grace, and we put up tolerance, and we put up recognition in this room. But then we get out of this room, and there would be a question, are you really a Christian? And that's not to be condemning. There's no shame. But there's definitely a confrontation that should be happening. There's definitely a provocation that God is provoking something in your spirit, I hope, for all of us to recognize, Lord, the whole purpose of me being formed into your likeness is to display you and to glorify you before all humanity, before all nations. And that this call for the sake of others is what then gets us up out of bed, realizing that, Lord, I am available. I'm available to be sent. I'm available to preach. I'm available to serve. I'm available to love. And whatever that expression of love looks like in the manner in which God has gifted you and graced you and fashioned you, let it flow freely. Let it flow in such a manner that yes, you might be taken advantage of. Yes, somebody might not like your message. Yes, somebody might choose to persecute you or unfriend you or say things about you that aren't true. But because of the nature of love, we look beyond the moment. We look beyond the situation. And we allow the formation of Christ in us to not weigh us down in such a manner that the opinions of man, the traditions of man, the tactics and schemes of the enemy rob our joy, our peace, and our love. Now, come on, amen. There's a reason to praise. Come on, we're here to praise. Let's just do that for a moment. Lord, thank you. Come on, in your own way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the awareness of our formation is something that you want to highlight, something that you want to bring attention to. Because here's the transition. Look at these seven churches. I've got the first four, I think, on the first slide here. So this is Pastor Mike. Real quickly, if you've been with us, this is familiar, but I want to remind you. When we looked at Ephesus, we saw a loveless church. Ephesus shows us the reality of when our love grows cold. The command was return to your first love. Some of you in this room need to realize that God is going to be a catalyst towards spiritual formation that addresses a loveless attitude. And you have to welcome it and you have to want it, both individually and corporately. Smyrna, the little asterisk because of the way God addressed Smyrna and didn't have anything against them, but what he recognized is you have endured persecution. Listen, we need to recognize that as the body of Christ, some of the spiritual formation that God is going to do in us and has been doing in us and is going to continue to do in us is going to make us able to endure the persecution. And if you're here going, oh, Lord, I really don't want to endure persecution, then you are choosing to disengage the spiritual formation of the image of Christ for the sake of others. Because what others need to see is your strength. What others need to see is that there is value, that there's eternal value in the things that you are saying and doing. And it provokes them to look at their temporary state, their temporary mindset, and get challenged. Pergamum was the place where we recognize the false teachers and the idolatry and the sexual immorality and this reality that idols had been set up. And so the church had settled into just incorporating the world into their system, and it changed their mindsets about God. Some of us in this room have mindsets that don't line up with the Word of God. Let me rephrase that. We all have mindsets. We all have mindsets that don't line up with the Word of God. And that's just reality. But the beauty of God is going, I'm going to form you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to give you mindsets. And in those places where there's strongholds and strong men that are holding down and fortifying that lie, we're going to bring some spiritual dynamite, and we're going to have to blow that up. We're going to have to take care of it. And so that's what we got out of Pergamum. Thyatira, we get this reality that the church has compromised. We've compromised and we've compartmentalized God in the sense that it's okay to be here on Sunday and say we're a Christian, but tomorrow we can live like hell. Listen, you were hell raisers before Christ, but he raised you up to be light bearers. You can't go back to being hell raisers. You can't go back to creating hell and raising hell in the midst of situations. You are called to destroy the works of the devil, not partner with him. You are called to bring the light in such a manner that when we look at Thyatira, what we realize is, Lord, forgive me because I know I've got compromise because of control and self-hatred. Oh, wait, that's September 4th. Praise God, you're all going to be here. The next churches, we have Sardis. This was the dead church. You are dead. This is what God said to them. How many would love to receive that message? Echo Hills, you're dead. Wake up. You're the sleeping church. Listen, we hear that as almost a rebuke and this thing of, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Lord, we're a dead church. When the reality, as Pastor Mike has shared, it was the call to arms. Hey, listen, know where you're at so that you can course correct through repentance and allow spiritual formation to be implemented that brings an awakening. An awakening, not just to the local church inside a building on a Sunday morning, but to a city. Because how many of you realize that transformed people transform cities? And transformed cities transform nations. So we're praying, oh Lord, change our nation. Change our nation. Deal with our president. I don't recognize him as a president. Oh Lord, praise God. Liz Cheney's no longer, you know, whatever. It's the ridiculous thing if you follow the Wyoming elections. But, you know, whatever. We make these shouts and these praises about, Lord, our nation and about our government and about all these things. But if you go back and you look through all these churches and you see these realities, have I compartmentalized the spiritual reality of what God's doing in the midst of the people that are in office, knowing that at the end of the day, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, not a president. At the end of the day, God will have his victory because he knows exactly how to orchestrate times and seasons and men and women, governments and powers. And none of this means I disengage. If anything, it says, Lord, shape me up to have a spiritual awareness of how things are shaping. Bring me into formation with your kingdom. But we say these things and we do these things not realizing that if we want to see change, we have to be the change. If we want to see change in our cities, then we need to go after the men and women that have influence in our cities. We need to become the men and women of influence in our cities. We have to recognize, we get into this place of Philadelphia, again, the little asterisk. This is a church that really was doing so well, a very small church, as Pastor Mike talked about. And God didn't have anything against them, but what he did, he commended them in their ability to persevere. Listen, a small church, possibly 30 to 50 people in size, was having incredible impact in a culture that was demonized and demonic and materialistic, built off idolatry and all these other sinful natures. And God comes in through Jesus and the revelation and says, listen, I see how you are persevering. I see how you are overcoming, because there was a spiritual formation in them that kept them on track. They didn't waver. That's why this subject is important. The last church, I know Pastor Mike hasn't gotten into it. He'll get into it when he gets back on the 18th, but it's the church of Laodicea. And if you're familiar with this is the church where God says, I'm going to spit you out because you're neither hot nor you're cold. You're lukewarm. And here's the thing. Hot isn't better and cold isn't worse. It's the reality of recognizing you are who God called you to be. And you're not willing to just settle for like, I'll take a little bit of this, I'll take a little bit of that, and I'll just be lukewarm. If God calls you to go, you better go, and we can call that hot. If God calls you to stay, and you stay, and do what he calls you to do, we could call that cold. But the reality is God is saying, be in a conscious decision-making mode that recognizes, Lord, I'm doing what you've called me to do, and I'm not just going to let time pass me by. I'm not just going to allow circumstances to unfold as I think they should or as the world says they should. I'm going to be intentional. And it starts with, Lord, I am praying about the path you have me on. I am wanting to see that path. I am wanting to be aware of what you're doing. What process do I need to be engaging in so that I can get through? I can be the nature of Christ, the likeness of Christ, the light of Christ to those around me. And here's the last thing. And if you missed this before you walked in because we had already started, this is the bulk of the message. We'll come out of worship and we'll take some time to pray so you can be at peace. We are all in process. And the reality is that the way God's working in me to root something out, to plant something, to nurture something, might not be what he wants to do in you. Might not be the way he wants to do it in you. But I guarantee you, he wants to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to show you how immensely loved you and I are. And what's in the way of receiving that love are these strongholds, are these ideologies and these behaviors and these beliefs and these habits that kick in when something triggers us. And what you and I have to recognize is that there is a process taking place. But how aware of it are we? How intentional are we being to have it happen or not have it happen? When you stop and you look at your daily routine, when you stop and just look at what the day unfolded, how often do you stop and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to see that. Or, you know what, Lord? I don't think that's you. Let's dig that out. Let's uproot that. Show me why I reacted that way versus just moving on. And here's the other thing, and I realize I'm mixing my messages here, because this is the nature of control, real quick. Being formed versus conforming ourselves or forming ourselves. It's an issue of control. So somebody comes and offends you, and you recognize the offense. You recognize, like, I just don't know. I don't like this, Lord. I feel like, you know, and we start to blame, and we start to gossip, and we do all these things. And we avoid the person. There's all these tactics and things that happen, right, in offense, the nature of offense. And then we kind of move on. We become callous towards its effect. We've distanced ourselves from that person. We've isolated ourselves. We've cut them off. We're protecting. You know, we build up these walls so that we won't be offended. And what happens is that all of a sudden we take control of the formation that God wants to do. We take control of how God can use this situation to bring his glory. We take control by cutting off. Now, I'm not saying there isn't healthy boundaries, and there's a difference between control and responsibility. But I think sometimes we pull back into a state of control because we're looking for security. We're looking for assurance. We're looking for some sense of stability. All healthy things. But if we don't stop long enough to recognize how much control we've taken and how much of a wall-building process we've put ourselves in, we might not recognize that the work God wanted to do in that situation or could do in that situation has just become harder. Versus the immediate recognition in the moment of going, oh, that hurt. I think I'm offended. Lord, I am offended. Lord, I'm offended. I do not want to be offended. Lord, and this is what we do. Do something in them so they don't offend me anymore. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, nuh-uh. So we say, Lord, do something in me so I don't get offended anymore. And all of a sudden, the door is opened. And the formation can usually continue because it's a process. Or it can begin through awareness. And it's that simple. It's that simple if we'll just stop and go, hey, Lord, the unlike nature of Christ that I'm expressing and exhibiting right now, for all the world to see, that's where the confrontation is. That's where we have a tendency to stop and go, oh, Lord, just be a vending machine. A19, click, no offense. And it doesn't work like that. I know. Oh, for the sake of others. So as we get into worship, and as we come into this place of just recognizing there is a process of being formed into the image of Christ, for the sake of others, worship takes on a very different expression. Worship takes on the opportunity to come before him in such a way that, Lord, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. I'm right here with my attention on you. Do what you want to do. And what's hard sometimes in the corporate expression of worship is that there will be a guarding of our heart. And that's natural. We'll guard our heart. Because really, who wants to see you all boogered up, sniveling, hunched over, laughing, rolling. No, we do. I mean, I'm okay with it, honestly. And I hope the rest of you would be okay if somebody had such a breakthrough that they were brought to tears. That somebody would be so vulnerable that whatever demonic affliction they've been under would start to manifest in such a manner that they found freedom in the counsel of love. What if we allowed our worship to be an opportunity corporately to get girded up with such faith, such expectation, such love, that then tomorrow morning when we're arising, Tuesday when we're in the midst of it at work, the tank isn't empty. The tank is actually desiring to be filled all the time because we encountered something corporately that God is going, now let me show you even more personally. And you take it into your prayer life. You take it into your home worship. You worship in the car. You worship as you go to work. You worship at work. Worship at work simply looks like validating people. Hey, nice job, thanks. Oh man, you brought us coffee today, thank you. Versus like, oh, you know, I don't drink Starbucks coffee. Sorry, I'm okay. I only do hot shots. You know, I mean, that's a silly thing, but, you know, we make those comments. You know, Oh, blueberry muffins? Yeah, I really like the bran muffins, you know. But it's, sorry. We stop and we recognize that, Lord, I can worship you through thanksgiving. I can worship you by validating others. I can be the light by not endorsing sin, by definitely not condemning it, but by finding attributes of God in the midst of the situation that we can give him glory over. So if you'd stand with me, I want to invite the worship team up. Around here, we start by standing. But as we get into these songs around here, you know, we encourage you to stand, but you can sit as we get going. You'll see some people wave banners and flags. You'll see others dance. Those are all part of what we believe our relationship like of Christ should look like. And none of it's right or wrong. It's just, Lord, what have I made myself available to? And some of you just haven't made yourself available to kneel. And so this morning, if you feel led to kneel, make yourself available to kneel. Some of you have never made yourself available to wave a banner because you just thought, man, that's silly or that's dumb or, you know, whatever. Or, oh, that's not me. Again, it's part of our spiritual formation. Do you have to wave banners to worship? Absolutely not. Do you have to kneel to worship? Absolutely not. Do you have to stand to worship? Absolutely not. But these are things that I want you thinking about as we're worshiping. Paying attention to the words on the screen as part of our spiritual formation. We try to sing songs that are theologically correct. Sometimes we do really well. Sometimes, you know, in the history, we haven't. But the reality is that's part of our spiritual formation. So we care about it. But there's also spiritual formation happening by the way you're interpreting the words on the screen. And so pay attention to that. Are you making yourself available for God to do what he's being declared to be as we sing, or are you just taking it in as a traditional act? Well, we're supposed to stand and we're supposed to sing these songs, or we're supposed to read these words off the screen. There'll be times, I guarantee, this morning when the worship team gets going, that they might not sing words on the screen. We do it a lot around here. There's a spiritual formation that God is trying to get us to do. That's why we allow for it, because we want you to sing your own song. We want you to sing a new song. We want you to have enough breathing room, a Selah moment, a pause, a meditation, to realize that there's something that can happen that goes beyond what was planned or even written. And we want that. I want you to want that. And I realize that some of you here today might be sitting here going, you know, I've never thought of the process. I didn't even know I was in process. Some of you, you're not aware of that God is actually the one who's trying to form you, and you keep taking control. So you might want to spend some time sitting and journaling, just going, Lord, forgive me for taking so much control of my formation. Some of you, I'm sure, had great answers to those two questions. Some of you may realize, oh man, I think I kind of missed it. Some of you may have sat there going, I don't even know how to begin to answer that, and that's okay. But our opportunity that we have in worship allows us to come before him and go, Lord, show me. Show me what it means to be changed into the image of Christ. Lord, here's my heart this morning. It's available to receive your love. Some of you are carrying things in from the week, and you just need to draw near to God. It hasn't become a discipline. It hasn't become a habit that you have every day. And that's the beauty of the opportunity we have. And the first song we're going to sing here is Draw Near. It's about drawing near to God. Just take the opportunity. Lord, here I am. Thank you for shaping me. Thank you for bringing me in. I'm drawing near to you. Because how many of you know that when you nurse a baby and you lay them down in their bed at night, they don't wake up an adult? Right? Come on, we all know that. And it's the same for you and I. God knows the process. He knows the nurturing that's necessary to grow us up into the fullness and likeness of Christ. And he is a good, good father. So he knows how to get up with us in the nights when we're whining and we're crying. He knows the perfect temperature of the bottle that we need. He knows which vegetables we need. He knows which meat we need. He knows which size portions we need. He knows it all. And so if you and I can come to a place as we draw near to him in a posture of surrenderance, I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Now, you might not like what he has to say, but he says it because he loves you. He says it because he has more for you. He says it because he knows others out there that need somebody sent to them, and he's looking to you and I. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and praise this morning. We lift up our song in praise and worship. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others, Lord. Father, forgive us for settling for a vending machine transactional relationship with you. Father, that you would increase the revelation of relationship that you long to have with us. Father, show us the need for relationship with others as we journey, as we process, as we move forward. And we thank you this morning that we can draw near to you in such a manner that, Lord, your grace is sufficient. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's worship him.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What an invitation that is. I love that one of the blessings from opening the book of Revelation, not just Revelation, but the revelation of Jesus Christ, is there's a blessing. And I feel like I just had this experience last week while I was preaching. It was really distracting, but it was amazing at the same time. Was I felt like I was preaching and I was actually living in a story. And I think that that's the invitation of the Lord as we begin to realize and come into revelation about who he is and who the body of Christ is in this season, in this time, in this history, because we look like something. We look like somebody. We are characters in this story. And it's a blessing of the revelation of Jesus Christ in us and through us. And we use the terminology spiritual formation, but it is who we are in Christ Jesus. In this season and in this hour, that we would recognize who we are. You guys, this is, forgive me if I offend your any comfort level. I don't mean to do this, but this is Narnia, you guys. Pretend for a second that this is the wardrobe. On this side, it's World War II. You're in Great Britain. There's struggle, there's strife, there's all kinds of things going on. Forgive me if you have no idea where I'm coming from. Go rent the movie. You need to saturate your brain in this, because this is what the Lord is doing right now. But there's the world. You're in the world. You're reminded of the world. There's war. There's things that are going on. And all of a sudden, there's this access point, this wardrobe moment where you stumble into a reality, into something where you're royalty. There's this prophetic destiny over your life, and everything you bump into in this realm, in this reality, you begin to realize who you are and who you've been called to be. And that you realize that you're completely and totally equipped when you had no idea you were royalty. You had no idea who you are in the Lord. But for generations upon generation upon generation, it has been prophesied of your coming. And you find out that you're actually not only in a story, but you're part of a story. And that we can't live this thing out without you. That we don't know what this looks like without you. And when we worship, you guys, when we worship, when we get into this place, we begin to come into our right mind about who we are and what God thinks about us. And we need to remember that we can be in the world and not of the world. Do you see the invitation? Okay, so take this reality, and as you step into this reality, remember who you are. You're royalty. We bring the revelation of Jesus Christ with us. He's not stuck in a building. The spiritual formation that's taking place in your life was created so that you could come into an awareness of who you are. So let's just step into this for a second. Put your hands out in front of you. Your hands are your cry to the Lord. Come on, we thank you, Jesus. We begin to put our hands out. We say, Lord, show us who we are. To you, in this story, show us how you've gifted us to carry the goodness of your presence with us. Show us how to live in this season in history when you've put us on the earth. Not just generation and generation and generation. We are a family to carry the light of the gospel of who you are. And we've been designed to carry it in a unique way. Not just leaders in the church to carry it for us, and then we'll be back next Sunday. But for us to live in the revelation of Jesus Christ at all times. So we thank you, Jesus, that this moment that this body is in, as we put our hands before you, that you would remind us again that he who has ear, let him hear. Now, I want to do a prophetic act together. I want you to just to vision in your mind's eye that there's a lever in front of you. There's a lever. Do you see it? Do you see the lever next to you? I want you to put your hand on the lever. Do it now. You can even move your hand. It's okay. And I want you to begin to push that forward. Push it forward right now. Push it forward. Push it forward. Push it forward. Push it forward. This is you deciding that I'm actually pushing the lever forward because I won't go backwards. I won't forget. Just begin to make a vow before the Lord. I will not forget. I will not forget that I was created for this. I will not forget that you're using me. I will not forget that my yes is enough. I will not forget that heaven is within me and that you have called me to carry it every place that I go. Some of you need to keep going until you bend it and break it so it can't go backwards again. So we just thank you, Jesus, for the story. For the story that we are in the story. Come on, we just love you, Jesus. Come on, this is the kingdom, you guys. Yeah, just put praise on your lips. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to get up. Jeff, did you have something else you want to finish this with? Okay, go ahead, man.
Awesome.
There we go. In process, and we're all in process. And so this week, go and have an amazing week. Let God speak to you in such a manner that the process that he wants to continue, the process that he wants to initiate, the process that he wants to reveal to you that's going to bring breakthrough is available, and that he shows it to you. And as you head out, I want you to think on this verse. And this comes out of Ephesians verse 4, verse 11. Thank you. They're here somewhere. Appreciate that. Sorry. This is, yeah, Lord. Where's the vending machine for eyes healed? Come on. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And watch what happens. This is the spiritual formation. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and in and knowledge of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. Listen, you may think you have arrived, but I have not. Therefore, God is not done with you until we all come into it. Until we all come into it. And I know none of you are sitting here thinking, oh, I've got it, I have arrived. But what we do need to be realizing is what I do have is part of what God is doing in others. And so, Lord, make me available. Would you stand and send yourself out with a big hug, a big high five, a big hooray with somebody else around you? You can drop your offering off. You can meet us here next Sunday, 9:30. We'll get some projects done on campus, or join us down at Pioneer Park and get sent out into the community someplace else. God bless you all. Yes, if you are part of the Healing Rooms ministry, if you are part of the Healing Rooms ministry, meaning you pray in the Healing Rooms, if you could join us right over here in this chapel area, be careful as you walk in. There's some work going on, but we just want to connect with you if you're part of the Healing Room ministry. Thank you.